And welcome back to Community Connections. As I said before, we do have Cindy McLeish. She was just tied up at a meeting, and that's fine. And how are you, Cindy?
I'm very well, thank you, Alan. Yep. And I trust you're well too.
I'm very well too, thank you. Cindy, you want to talk about the football. We've had some Indigenous rounds.
I don't just want to talk about Geelong being on top of the ladder, Alan, no.
Hang on, let's go back a minute. Are you a Geelong supporter?
I am a Geelong supporter, go Cats.
Well, say hello to another St Geelong supporter.
Oh, there you go. This time.
No worries.
I guess we haven't talked AFL football.
No, we haven't. And I got to say, I'm a bit of a fair weather supporter, so I can't talk about them too well, but it's good to see them up there on the ladder. But anyway, let's talk about the Indigenous rounds, Cindy.
Look, a lot of the clubs locally have been doing Indigenous rounds or having Indigenous matches. And in the past, Wirrealik and Healesville had some. And, you know, there's been a bit of a change with the AFL Outer East in the last couple of years. They've changed the structure and different teams are in different levels and divisions and things like that. And so I'm not sure that Healesville and Wirree played each other, but one time we had Warburton and Powelltown had an Indigenous round out there. And, you know, they did it so well. Including, you know, with speakers and somebody playing the didgeridoo. And somebody at Warburton said to me, you know, I come from WA, and she said everywhere that you're doing a smoking ceremony or you're doing anything, you know, you've always got someone playing the didgeridoo. And that's not the case here.
Yeah. Are you there? No. Oh, sorry. Are you there, Cindy?
I am there, Alan. I haven't lost you.
No, I thought you disappeared. Sorry about that.
No. I thought you disappeared. No. You know, and it got me wondering, you know, why is it that in Victoria that there's less playing of the didgeridoo than everywhere else around the around the country?
There's no reason for that you know of?
No. It's just not been something that, you know, like they do the welcome to countries, they'll do smoking ceremonies, but there's much less of the didgeridoo. And so they had a young man who came out, and he was quite young, and he was actually, I think, from Mount Isa or somewhere like that. And he did the didgeridoo, and then when they did the welcome to on the ground, you know, they had all the players there, and it's so easy to put the speaker of the microphone into the bottom of the didgeridoo, just in front of it,
yep.
And it picks up the sound and amplifies it really, really well. But Warburton also have done really well with the jumpers. They've created, they had an Indigenous round jumper, but they've also, they had it on some of the banners, and they've created the hoodies and, you know, tops and stuff like that with the actual a strip out of the original artwork.
Terrific.
On their, and it was really lovely. It's in bluey colours. It's really terrific. But what was really great was it was done by a young artist from Healesville.
True.
Cindy Mills, who doesn't work as a full-time artist. She has a different job. I was going to say a real job, but that's not fair to artists who spend a lot of time, you know, doing their trade, you know, day in, day out. But, you know, she did a great job on that. And, you know, we had a young speaker who was a blonde Aboriginal girl who played for Essendon and talked about her life getting to AFLW in Melbourne from WA.
True.
And, you know, like, boy, had she had a life. She'd had a life by the time she was 17, you know, like, with all the different things that had happened with a parent suicided and her mother was murdered by her partner and all sorts of things. And Courtney Yuga was her name, and she finally got here to Essendon and had a bit of an injury, but gosh, you know, one of the toughest, strongest people that I've met. You know, it was extraordinary talking about the issues that she'd faced within her family and communities, and getting to being an AFLW star and then out there talking it at Warburton.
telling her about. Well, you've got to hand it to the local football. I mean, they do the pride matches. They've done it well up here, haven't they?
The Yarra Valley have done it well. And they also had Nicky Winmar, who was a guest, but he didn't speak. But, you know, he walked around on the inside of the oval and chatted to people and stuff and stayed around. And I was pretty impressed with that.
Yeah, that's terrific. But
you know, he just walked around. I mean, I guess that's what they wanted him to do. Yep. But he did it happily, chatted away, and, you know, and it put a little bit of a focus. And it's pretty easy, you know, the council were involved to do some markings on the ground and stuff like that. And for something that's actually quite simple, you know, it has a strong message.
Yeah, and it also takes people to put it together too, doesn't it? It doesn't just happen.
Yeah, it doesn't just happen. And through that day, you know, there were different representatives from different communities. And, you know, we started talking about issues and areas of needs locally within the communities and how you might want to do this and how different ideas that they had that, you know, I can certainly take those to the council and to, you know, the government to say, hey, listen, these are some good ideas here about how we can get people to open up and to talk a little bit more in and what sort of settings is it that they need. So, you know, you go along to these things and you meet lots of people and you have lots of discussions, but you actually can get some really good outcomes and changes as a result.
Well, that's terrific. Cindy, I've just got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more. John Fogarty and a rock and roll girl. And I should mention I'll be here on Sunday night between 6 and 8 doing a fill-in for Matt Shure on the Rock and Roll Hit Parade. Won't be playing John Fogarty, but we'll be playing a lot of the hits out of the 50s and 60s and, of course, your requests. But we're talking to Cindy McLeish and talk about all the things that are going on. We've been talking a little bit about football. Cindy, you'd like to talk about the Hillsville Aragwin game.
Well, they also did an Indigenous game, and I don't just want to get you to talk about the Warburton Footy Club and their match against Powelltown. The Sierra Glen were involved with one, and, you know, Hillsville have been involved with a couple, but Sierra Glen and Hillsville did one. And this, they did a little bit differently as well. Now, Sierra Glen and Hillsville haven't always been in the same division of football, yep. but they are at the minute. And so they played this time for the Perry Wandon Keith Frank Moat trophy.
Yep.
And so the Moats are a big Tunnerung clan from Sierra Glen, been here for donkeys ever. you know, they're quite a large family. Yep. And the Wandons are actually quite well known at Wurundjeri over in the Hillsville area. And these guys have had really long, strong connections with local football. Hillsville and Sierra Glen, and Juby Wandon, who played for St Kilda, played for Hillsville and for Sierra Glen as well. So, like, there's lots of connections between the families and the clubs. And so they did their Indigenous round as well. And they had a didgeridoo. So after me, you know, seeing that not many didgeridoos, I've had lots of it. And they had some of the old stuff that, you know, people had made on display as well. But the guy, Chris, who was playing the didgeridoo, said when he was a kid he used to do the vacuum cleaner. Until his mum might run okay.
you were saying before you've heard some of these stories, so some of these Indigenous people have had really tragic lives, haven't they?
Oh, absolutely. And others haven't, you know, like we've yeah. been, we have other than tragic lives, you know, we have some too many gaps, I suppose, at the moment. You know, we have the incarceration rates and the family violence and things like that.
Yep.
Are too high, absolutely too high, and they shouldn't be. And when you hear people talk about some of their experiences, it highlights it. But, you know, people who've done really well need to be the role models for younger generations. And, you know, the Wandon Moat trophy between Hillsville and Sierra Glen, you know, it was a good idea, and these families are well known. And one of the young girls had said to me, you know, my grandmother weaved this basket, and they used to do all the baby photos in this basket. And I said, oh, do you do that? And she said to me, well, I've tried, but mine's really lumpy. She said, I'll get better at it. But, you know, she was really keen to learn more about the history and how they lived and some of the things in her family. And, you know, I don't think that things had been bad in her family at all by any means. But, you know, having that strong connection with culture and sometimes, you know, can really do well. We've seen some locals with the fire stick with the cool burnings. You know, there's quite a number of people locally that have been involved, and you know, it's been terrific.
Because one of the things we don't want to see is those cultures drop out, do we, and get lost.
No, and I don't know if I've told you or listeners before, but one time I was at Eildon Primary School, and we were presenting three flags, the Australian, the Indigenous and the Torres Strait Islander. And they'd had a Torres Strait Islander family go through. And it was like the last kid, the last day of school for this kid, you know, like when they finally got the flag up. And the kids did a dance. They'd learned a Torres Strait Islander dance. And, you know, it was so like the haka. It was sensational. It was really good. But, you know, and people said, like, oh, what's the Torres Strait Islander? Well, there are people who've come from those communities and live here now, and you know, what they did in their mobs is different from what the Wurundjeri did, or the Wurundjeri. All these different mobs have different ways of doing things, and, you know, treating people with after they die, how they bury them, and all, you know, there's lots of different things, and it's good to learn and understand how they how the Aboriginals lived and what they did. You know, you imagine on days where it hasn't stopped raining, you know, you think your kids are locked up in the house all day, and you're out in the bush, and, you know, you I don't know. I often stop and wonder, you know, in the rotten weather, we've got heating and cooling and things like that.
I was just going to say that it's not only the fact of being in a house, it's the fact that we've all got heating and you know, on a hot day you turn the cooler on, and some of these people have just lived in the elements for years and years and years, haven't they?
Yeah, some of the tribes all around the world have, you know. You look at the Eskimos. God, I don't know that I'd like to be...
Couldn't stand the cold.
Living in an igloo and ice all the time. I don't think I'd be very good at that. But, you know, like it's really fascinating to the way people have lived. And the desert tribes are different from mountain tribes. You know, it's really quite different. So when, you know, you talk about Indigenous rounds and you get to understand and learn more, but you also, you know, can hear some of the things that aren't going well and haven't gone well for those groups over the years.
That's terrific. All right, look, we'll take a quick break, Cindy, and we'll be back with more. Robert Palmer and A Bad Case of Loving You. Don't know that you want to be in a bad love. But anyway, we're talking to Cindy McLeish. Cindy, we just I know you're running an ad on the station about vaping. It seems to be taking off because a lot of people seem to think that vaping isn't all that big a problem, but it really is, isn't it?
Look, it is, and I'm surprised how far and wide people are speaking to, not just to me, but to my colleagues, about vaping as well. And, you know, at schools with young people, on school buses, at social functions. And, you know, when kids are over 18, fair enough, they can make their own decisions. But what's happening is too many young kids are getting access to vapes, you know. And the the companies, they're all linked to some of the cigarette companies, well, they seem to be, and, you know, they have flavours like bubblegum and fairy floss or cinnamon toast or something, you know, all of these flavours. And when you look at the packaging, it's all aimed at kids and making it appealing so that, you know, young people are going to take it up.
I mean, if it wasn't aimed at young people, you wouldn't have those sorts of flavours, would you?
Correct. Correct. Yeah. You know, it's not like your 40-year-old's going to go, oh, let's go for bubblegum.
Well, if it tasted like something horrible, well, the children, the young people aren't going to want it, are they?
No, no. And the thing is that they don't know what's in it. Kids don't know what's in it. Oh. Some of them have got nicotine, and it's really bad for their future health. And people are worrying about how easily accessible vapes seem to be for children, and it's something that really needs to be cracked down on. You know, the illegal selling.
Yeah, well, because it is mainly the biggest problem is that where it is being sold illegally, isn't it?
Look, it is, and you know, I believe it's being sold not too far, you know, or within easy access of the valley. I guess is probably the best way to say it. But you know, parents are worried about their kids, but the Cancer Council and places like that are really worried because, you know, the smoking rates have got right down. They've done a fabulous job with health. And there was a conference recently, a health conference, and it was stated that, you know, it's probably put things back 20 years.
Oh, that's terrible, isn't it?
You know, like we've made so much good progress. And you look at the number of people who smoke socially now, and it's way less than it used to be, way less.
Used to be parties when you were at a party, like, when you didn't smoke, you were more on the, or not so much on the outer, but you were more in the minority, weren't you? But now it's the other way.
And now people will typically in a house go outside to smoke.
Yep, yep.
It doesn't matter if it's a, you know, your own home or other homes. People tend to do that, and you don't have those parties where it was full on smoke and everybody smelled of smoke, and, you know, everyone goes outside. And so they have made really good progress, but now, and for the health aspects, but now really worrying about what that's going to be like for, you know, the kids in the future.
Future. Cindy, I'm just going to take one quick break, and we're actually going to play a singer that hails from up your way, up at Hillsville, well, Cal Kennedy, with his song The Dodge Ute. So we'll play that and then we'll be back with more.
Sure.
Heading on home, back to the valley where she's from. That slant six is far and away. Like she was in 1968. From the red gums in the northeast to the mountain ash stands, where the Appies have coffee in their hands. Just off the view, heaven's worth 22. She'll be winding through the black spurs soon. Paddle, bullet hole in the cave. Just past Buxton, we
was Cal Kennedy, who comes out of Hillsville and the Dodge Ute. I don't know about you, Cindy, you might like the old cars, but I love the old cars. I can just see that old Dodge Ute coming up through the Dandenongs there and driving like an old car.
Look, I appreciate it when people drive them and they're, you know, having fun, but yes.
Not your scene? Well, that's fair enough.
Not my scene. It's a bit too slow paced for me.
No, I like the old cars. But anyway, we're not here to talk about me or old cars. Cindy, we were running a bit of I think it was an ad for you on your sponsorship a little while ago about people ringing up about the roads. I was travelling the other night between here and Warburton, and some of the potholes in that road are terrible. Have you had a good response with people ringing in to tell you where all these potholes are?
Oh, look, absolutely. And they're everywhere, actually, which is the really frustrating thing. You know, we're in the middle of winter, but we've had a really wet time of it. And I know even just trying to mow the grass at home, you know, it's pretty near impossible. But, you know, to try and fill these potholes, you know, they let it get away, and now that, you know, they've got away and they're getting bigger and bigger. And some of these potholes are smack in the middle of the road. Like, they're not even the edges. They're smack in the middle of the road.
And the problem is then you'd be driving along towards it just either way, and then all of a sudden someone swings out to miss the pothole, and unless you're very careful, it can wind up in quite a dangerous situation.
Yeah, it's not unlike sort of trying to dodge an animal on the road.
Yeah.
But you can, and people, somebody rang my office the other day that they'd done a couple of $1,000 worth of damage to their vehicle. Because they'd had to, I don't know if they got out of the way or they hit the thing, you know, but that is a considerable cost for that person.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, and you've got loads of them.
That's probably cheap, some of them. You know, if you've got some of these more expensive cars, you can do $8,000 or $10,000 at the front end extremely easily on them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the other issue with roads, so it's not only that, you know, they're potholes and they don't get addressed and they get worse. But, you know, we've had the roads that get redone, and there's a section between Coldstream and Healesville, which is only finished a few years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, and there's a section near St Hubert's now, just near the corn there, and it was probably 200 or 300 metres that they had to do the whole lot again.
Really?
You know, we saw that on the Goulburn Valley Highway too. You know, you shouldn't have to do, when you finally get this great road in place, you think it should last more than 2 years.
Oh,
because
absolutely.
People put up with it for 4 years before it gets done. So,
Cindy, when you were having that phone in, apart from roads, and we've just talked about that, was there any other one issue that sort of popped up that was one of the major concerns?
Look, there's a few things, and people are always looking at things locally, you know, like in their own backyard. And we've had a situation, for example, out at Reefton, I've talked about before, with the pedestrian bridge that was taken down quite a number of years ago, I think 5 years ago, and they're still waiting for it to be replaced. Now, the government have said, yes, we're going to replace it, and we're going to give the money to the council, who can do it. And the council are like, fabulous. And now the council are like, where's the money? Where's the money, you know? Give it to us. And so people ring up an email about local things like that. You know, there's also up at the Upper Yarra Dam where they've done the reinforcement works. They've fixed up the park, and they've done a great job of the park there. But there's a playground. They've built this gee whiz flashbang, you know, playground up there, and the photos look fabulous. And kids up there are dying to get there, and it was supposed to be open this time last year.
Boy.
And it's finished.
And it's just
it's not open because they're stuffing around with that's very parliamentary language, isn't it? They're stuffing around with the agreement or contract between Parks and Melbourne Water, because it's on Melbourne Water land and Parks do the management. And, you know, here's these kids in the community. And, look, you know, if you live up at McMahon's Creek, Reefton, yeah, you haven't got access to playgrounds like you have if you live in Healesville or you know, Warburton or anywhere. You've got to travel a distance, and they've got this playground that's almost in their backyard and it's not open. So, you know, people get frustrated every time there's a date set that this is going to happen, it doesn't happen. People get frustrated and they ring they ring the offices, you know.
And so, some of those things are so easy to fix.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I would have thought. I mean, I would think.
And, you know, other things that is easy to fix that people call about or speak to me about is signage. When things aren't well signposted, you know, that's not going to cost you $1.5 million to do. You know, it's not much at all. And you think that whether it's government or council, that things like that, it makes the communities easier and locals and visitors alike. Just really helps, especially if you've got attractions for tourists.
Can understand that. Cindy, we'll just take another quick break. We're going to play a song from John Farnham. We all know that at the moment he's not going very well, and we certainly all wish him well. Sydney off air, and as most of you know, I left the microphone on, but luckily I wasn't swearing or saying anything bad, so that's a bit of a lesson. Cindy, I should have looked a bit better, shouldn't I?
Yes.
Now, Cindy, you've been doing some clay target shooting.
Well, I have. Every year Field and Game Victoria have an annual politicians get together where they invite federal and state members of parliament from all, you know, everybody. Yep. And they go along and they have a bit of a competition, but
Did you win? Did you win?
I often go on a winning team. No, I didn't, because a number of people had to go, so the teams all got blended a little bit towards the end, so I'm not quite sure how it worked out. But it was at the Melbourne Gun Club in Yering.
Whereabouts is that?
At Yering, just beside the Yering Golf Club at the back of McIntyre Lane.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where you go around that big bend at McIntyre Lane.
Yep.
You've got the gun club just up there, and they've got good facilities. You know, they've got areas to truck to practice in and train in, and then you have, you know, there's five bays, so you shoot from each of five bays because you've got a slightly different angle as the targets are coming at you. And then you go to another separate bay, which is a completely different angle as well. So we all get in, and this is an Olympic sport. You know, sometimes that we do have Olympians there and they'll do a little bit of a demonstration or something like that, and you can just see that they go, you know, bang, 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 bang to the to targets. But I was surprised to see that the clay targets are often imported, more often than not imported, and I would have thought we'd be able to...
Blimey. Yeah. You would have thought we could supply... You would have thought we could have done some material like that, wouldn't you?
Yes, we would have thought. No, you know, whilst I think a lot of people are agreeing that we need to do some of our manufacturing back on shore and some essential services so we don't get caught out, I'm not quite sure that clay targets are one of the most essential essential things, but, you know, like, you think in any event it wouldn't be... It, surely it's not that hard to do some of these, but we just need to have the right systems to encourage manufacturing.
Cindy, one day when we're talking, I wouldn't mind if you could give a bit of thought and put together a list of some of these things that, as a politician, that you do. Like, I would have never thought you'd go into something like that. And also, are there in Parliament, and I'm not talking about either side, is there sort of different, what I call fellowships? You know, in some groups is a caravanning club. And then does Parliament have any, and I know some Rotary and that, they have like a caravan club or a vintage car club within their organisation. Is anything like that at Parliament?
Not quite. You know, like, we have friends of groups will often be friends of different countries.
Right.
You know, that people get together, and there was a, you know, we have other not-for-profits that come in, like men's sheds come in, and people will sponsor them, and everyone will go along to particular events, and the football clubs and crickets, often the sporting clubs, come in, and, you know, it's good for them to come in, and they want people to know what they're doing to support them, so they want everybody to to know and support, you know, what they've got in the pipeline. And we'll have illnesses, like there's been an autism one recently that I was involved in that was really quite large, but you might have diabetes or stroke, and different organisations come in. They might come in annually. Sometimes they might come in once every 2 or 3 years, but it's not so much little groups where we go off and do stuff except for the country stuff.
Yeah, I thought you might have done stuff together with a few.
Federal's a bit different, I think.
Is it?
Yeah, they might do stuff like that more.
Yeah. Cindy, unfortunately, we're about time for us to go.
All right.
Thank you for being with us again. Well, by the time we get to next month, the end of September, the old year's getting well away, isn't it?
Yeah, Josh, I can't believe it's the end of August nearly.
Thanks very much, Cindy. And we'll talk to you next month.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Thanks, Cindy. Bye.